Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Great real estate builder, the last guy here, he didn't build a damn thing.
He was one of, but here's an important point, one of two presidents who left office with fewer jobs in America than when he got elected office. And the last guy was here, he looked at the world from Park Avenue. I look at it from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I look at it from Claymont, Delaware.
So Joe Biden on the 3 second sound clips is getting described as tough talking and bringing out the big guns and really laying into Trump. Okay, let's go slower. Let's listen to the extended clips, and we'll try to mute out as much of the mumbling as we can. This is the Labor Day speech yesterday, stump speech. Interestingly, a stump speech which was also featured on the White House website. So it's kind of this weird thing where, like, it's a campaign speech, really. But okay, fine. And at least there's a transcript. But here goes.
Well, we're getting through this one of the greatest job creation periods in American history. For real, that's a fact. And you know, it wasn't that long ago we were losing jobs in this country. In fact, the guy who held this job before me was just one of two presidents in history. He was one of, but here's an important point, one of two presidents in history that left office with fewer jobs in America than when he got elected office. By the way, you know who the other one was? Herbert Hoover. Isn't that kind of coincidental?
So you say something is coincidental as a jab when you are implying that it's causal, that, for example, President Trump was so bad that he's one of only two presidents in history where there were fewer jobs when he left office than when he began. But what happened during President Trump's term in office? Anybody remember what happened in 2020 and 2021? Anybody could? International pandemic that happened at the last year that he was in office. Does anybody remember what happened to jobs in the pandemic as the world shut down and as people went into isolation in some parts of the country and as people fled?
Everybody got paid out and didn't have to work anymore?
Yeah. And well, that was later.
They didn't want to. Oh, yeah, okay.
But no, that's true. Okay, so when President Trump took over in, you know, so 2016, last year of President Obama's tenure, you had unemployment rate at 4.88%, 151 million people. Okay. Unemployment rate is 95%, if you want to think of it that way, 151 million people. When you have 2017, so President Trump's first year, plus 2 million jobs, unemployment rate declines by 0.5%. Okay. It goes up to 96.4%, or sorry, 0.5%, it goes up. Next year, 2018, 155, so another 2 million jobs, okay? Unemployment drops by about 0.2%, okay? Next year, again, another 2 million jobs created. Unemployment drops again by about 0.25%. It's now at 3.68%. So up, first 3 years of President Trump's tenure. And then the pandemic hit, okay? And in the pandemic, we lost an awful lot of jobs. We lost 10 million jobs in 1 year. And unemployment skyrocketed from 3.68 to 8.09%. Okay? Under President Trump, you had vaccines developed, right? Operation Warp Speed. Under President Trump, you also had, you know, a fair amount of spending, but you definitely had the beginning of recovery from the virus. Then President Biden takes over, 2021. Employment jumps 5 million in 1 year, and unemployment drops by 2.5%. Employment jumps another about 6 million the next year, and the unemployment rate drops by 2%. And it's held steady since then. Employment went up another million, and it actually declined just a little bit year over year going into next year projected. And unemployment is projected to go up about 1% next year, but that's projections. Okay. So when he says...
Isn't that kind of coincidental?
It genuinely is. It's just like the budget deficit stuff. It's just like the debt stuff where he says, look, we've reduced deficit spending. Yeah, because the budget when you came into office was cooking along at coronavirus pandemic massive debt levels that everybody voted for. And then you just didn't waste money like that because you didn't have to anymore. And you claim that as some big budgetary reform when you're actually wasting money faster than ever before compared to, for example, years where we weren't running coronavirus deficits. Okay, so just, you know, one bit of, like, compare the reality to the reality and understand what actually happened in history. Here's another one.
When the last guy was here, your pensions were at risk. We helped save millions of pensions with your help. When the last guy was here, he looked at the world from Park Avenue. I look at it from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I look at it from Claymont, Delaware.
I could put aside that Park Avenue and Two Cities is not parallel structure, but okay, fine. not gonna quibble about that. But what he's getting at is the stock market, right? Stock market where pensions are heavily invested is, you know, doing well. Okay, what was the stock market doing when Trump took over versus what is the stock market doing today, right? When Trump took over, the stock market in, November of 2016 when he got elected, okay, in December, it was at 16,000. 16,000. And in January of 2020, before the pandemic, it was at 22,000. So it was up 6,000, about two-thirds. Quick math. No, not quite two-thirds. About a third, sorry. A little more than a third. And so then the pandemic hit and it fell off the table, but it only fell to 19,000. It was still up 3,000 at the worst of the pandemic. And then President Biden comes into office. It had already rebounded to 30,000. The Dow was at 30,000 before he came into office. And it has grown. No doubt it has grown since then. It's been kind of up and down, but it is now at 34,000. All right, so what should we make of this? Well, again, he's claiming wins versus the pandemic, but you kind of have to factor that out in the sense of who was really doing a better job of growing the economy, growing the stock market, and making pensions and 401ks be in a better shape than they would ever have been before. I think you have to give the credit to Trump on this. There's more to this. We'll get to more in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
A lot more. If you can text 437-1620 if you have your traffic tips. Not showing a lot of slowdowns. There is an accident, it looks like, and this is on Tahar, near Tahar, and North F Street, kind of east of the Sheriff's substation where Fairfield splits to go into Fairfield and Tahar, just before it crosses over into 29, right before F Street, like I said. But not showing a roadblock this morning. Also on Highway 98 in Gulf Breeze, actually a little closer to Navarre, and it looks like Anderson Avenue, showing an accident. But again, no roadblock there either. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, you can text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, so back. Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the speech yesterday by President Biden about labor. Then we have this fascinating claim. He's talking about union. He's always a very pro-union guy, right? Listen to this.
You know, like the sheet metal workers who used to use hand-drawn blueprints to design ductwork in buildings. Now use sophisticated computer-aided design systems so the entire project can be laid out in 3D. It ain't your father's sheet metal workers. This is a different world, man. You do the job right and you do it on time and you cost less for the guy you're doing it for, the person, the outfit you do it for, than if they didn't have labor.
What? Unions cost less? What? I don't even like. His claim is that unions cost the employer less than non-union. Well, that would be an interesting reason then to ever join a union if you're going to get lower wages and produce products that cost less. What? Now, I know what he's claiming. He's claiming that unions are the great source of innovation and technology that produce better products at cheaper prices and higher quality labor is what he's trying to get at. But what he says is that unions cost you less in labor to make the whole reason people get into unions, not to quibble on the obvious, but is because they're going to charge the employer more because they feel like they're not being paid a fair amount, right? That's why union goods cost more. Now, they would argue they're better quality. I think there's a lot of debate to be had. But he's not arguing that. He's literally saying it costs less to have union labor, which would be a fascinating lesson from economics of the alternate universe. Okay, but here we go. He says also...
unemployment.
Sorry about the cough.
That's below 4% for the longest stretch in 50 years.
Compared to Trump.
We've recovered all the jobs lost during the pandemic. We've added millions more. People are coming off the sidelines to go to work. More than 700,000 people joined the labor force last month.
Okay, fascinating. Accurate, although I think it's casting an inaccurate conclusion. But, yeah, people are going back to work. People have come back to work after the pandemic. Why? Why? Why are more people suddenly coming back to work? Let me put it a different way. Is there anything in people's lives that has forced them to have to go back to work when previously they could afford to not work? Now, part of it has to do with pandemic payments, overspending by the federal government, sure, that artificially displaced people into unemployment and prolonged that. But do you remember what the inflation rate was under Biden? And it has come down. I give credit.
It's all over the world. It's not just in the United States.
I agree. But why are people coming back to work? Is it because the economy is doing great, or is it because they can't afford not to work anymore? That's what I think is a part of it. So he's literally celebrating the byproduct of the inflation that he has been a key contributor to by the policies that he's advocated for. Now, Candy's right. There are other things about inflation that are also true. And I've said it before. The COVID interruption of supply chains was a part of it, for sure. But it wasn't the only contributor. So he's celebrating, again, getting people back into the jobs, but they're getting back into the jobs because they can't afford not to have them anymore. A byproduct of inflation, at least part of which he's responsible for. I won't say all of it. 721 on News Radio 92.3. There's more, but we're out of time. I'm Andrew McKay.
We interrupt the normal Strength for Life program schedule for an important message from the teen program at Northstone Baptist Church. School is back in session, but according to the calendar, it's still summer. With this in mind, Northstone is hosting a water activity this Saturday, September 9th, so teens from 7th graders to seniors can celebrate the end of summer in style. The activity is from noon to 2:30 on Northstone Baptist Church's 11 acres. We'll play a variety of slip and slide games on 3,000 square feet of tarp, and we'll feed everybody for free. Northstone Baptist Church is located in Northwest Pensacola near the intersection of Pine Forest and Nine Mile. The activity is open to everyone from 7th to 12th grade. Come join us this Saturday from noon to 2:30 at Northstone Baptist Church. For more information about the church, visit northstonebaptist.org. To learn more about our weekly Strength for Life programs, videos, and other media, visit strengthforlife.church or our YouTube channel, Strength for Life Pensacola.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in the business. Locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Saw ya! you think you could out-clever us French folk with your silly knees bent running about advancing behavior? I'll wave my private parts at your aunties, you cheesy lot of secondhand electric donkey bottom biters!
You didn't know you needed Five Iron Frenzy on a Tuesday morning, did you? But you did.
I did.
7:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Tahar and F Street, and this is if you're heading east on Fairfield, where it splits to go to Fairfield and Tahar, just east of the Sheriff's Substation. That's about where this is, Tahar and North F Street. But not a roadblock. It looks like it has been moved off to the side. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. Let's see, David Wayne is out this week, but Steve Taylor is sitting in for him. And back of the band's back together again.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is all about.
Well, good morning. In the Lone Star State, Attorney General Ken Paxton's impeachment trial is getting underway this morning in the Senate chamber of the Texas Capitol. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is presiding as judge. Senators will serve as jurors as they consider 16 of 20 articles of impeachment. The charges against Paxton include bribery and abuse of authority. Paxton or his lawyer will plead guilty or not guilty to each one of those articles of impeachment as the clerk reads them aloud. Delta Airlines tops a new list of best domestic carriers. The Atlanta-based airline ranked number one for on-time arrivals, service, and comfort. That's according to the Bounces 2023 Airline Index. Southwest Airlines, Hawaiian Airlines placed second and third, Alaska Airlines and United rounding out the top five. Other factors used in the annual airline comparison included in-flight entertainment, meals, and seat comfort. Seat comfort, right. Remember when you got real food at mealtimes and you sat in an actual seat large enough for an actual human being's tuchus when you flew?
Remember when you could just walk onto the airplane 3 minutes before the flight would take off and you could arrive 20 minutes before and nobody even had to look in your bags or nothing?
God, those are the days you'd get whole Cokes.
You could ask for
just
I'll just take
bit.
The whole can.
That's
but
right.
People back then also used to dress up to fly.
Right.
You know, now you're predating me. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm way too young.
Well, I'm an old
same
guy.
Same at the ballpark, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Fedoras included. No ball caps.
Take off your hat when you're going inside, son.
Yeah.
727. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 727 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this has got to be the what in the world sort of story. So obviously it comes out of Century. I mean, if there's a thing, but okay. This is a crazy story, okay? Kente Hassan Franklin, age 45, sentenced to probation. That's kind of amazing, but we'll get to it. He pled no contest. And so in January of this year, the victim in this case told the Escambia County Sheriff's Office that Franklin was the driver of a maroon car, window partially down outside the Fusion Liquor Store next to the Food John on North Century Boulevard. This is the northescambia.com version of the story. Franklin told the driver, quote, "I'm going to kill you because you are a convicted child molester." This is him yelling at the guy outside the car. He then turned the car around and struck the victim in the leg. The victim's wife was with him at the time. She told deputies the other occupant of the vehicle told Franklin, "You just need to run him over with this blankety blank. You just need to kill him." And according to surveillance video, Franklin circled the parking lot multiple times and pulled up to the victim and said something. And then, you know, shows Franklin pulling into a parking spot in front of the store, backs out, pulls forward, strikes the victim with the vehicle multiple times. So he originally had been charged with felony aggravated battery using a deadly weapon. That's the automobile. And he eventually pled no contest to a lesser charge of misdemeanor battery and sentenced to 12 months probation by Judge John Simon. So the guy is not on the National Sex Offender Registry list. The victim is not a convicted sex offender. It was a case of mistaken identity or whatever.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he got attacked with a car by a guy who thought it was his duty to kill somebody who was not even on the registry. Now, here's the thing about this is vigilantism is wrong for a reason, right? Even if this guy was who he thought he was, still attempted, I mean, I would say attempted murder, but okay. even if you thought that sex offenders should get the death penalty, which they don't, okay, it still would be wrong, even if we all agreed that it should be a death penalty offense, which we don't, it would still be wrong. Even if we decided to make a law that said you get the death penalty for being a sex offender, it would still be wrong because you as an individual driver of a car in Century, Florida, don't get to decide to execute somebody, even if you had all of society with you on that being the right thing to do. That's not how a justice system works. So I saw some comments from people who were like, yeah, you know, I could understand it if it was real. No! No, stop it! Civilization, rules, who gets to make these decisions? Not the individual driving the car by the convenience store.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. First Lady Jill Biden comes down with COVID for a second time since last August.
This came out of nowhere. No one had any inclination that the First Lady was even under the weather until we got that notice from her office yesterday. But Karine Jean-Pierre said that the president's going to undergo a regular cadence of testing this week. We don't know what regular is.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich of the White House. The president is set to travel to India for the G20 summit. Right now, the White House has not indicated if there's any sort of backup plans in the works. Watching the Caribbean.
Lots of activity in the Atlantic. This is the possible tropical storm Lee, which I think will become Lee probably today and moves very close to the Caribbean, probably as a major hurricane.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean. The vacation over for lawmakers in the U.S. Senate return to work 3 p.m. Eastern today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31, 77 degrees, mostly sunny in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. And Escambia County Public Schools data clerk was arrested for alleged DUI and possession of drugs, including fentanyl, after a traffic stop. 39-year-old Regina Denise Bonal was charged with driving under the influence, possession of fentanyl, and possession of cocaine. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office responded to a reported impaired driver on Highway 29 and observed the vehicle drifting and unable to maintain a constant speed. That's according to the arrest report. A field sobriety test showed extreme impairment and she was arrested. She denied using any of the meth or cocaine that was allegedly found in the car. The sheriff's office says Bonal was employed as a records clerk at Escambia High and was in possession of two large boxes of student files at the time of her arrest. Deputies made arrangements to return the records to the school along with her school identification and the keys. She remained in the Escambia County Jail with a bond set at $4,500. Several churches in the panhandle are leading the effort to gather supplies and send them towards the people who need them as Hurricane Idalia relief.
A supply drive is being held starting today through Friday. It'll be from 9 to 4 each day. Local churches that are participating include Crossview Methodist Church in Pensacola and Woodbine Church in Pace. Donations can include supplies such as diapers and Clorox wipes, water, non-perishables, and monetary donations, too.
That's News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. Florida gas prices have followed a downward trend through the past couple of weeks, with the state averaging declining 17 cents per gallon. Yesterday, the state average price for regular gasoline was $3.70 a gallon. In Escambia County, the average was $3.46 last night. A low of $3.35 could be found in North Escambia at a station on Highway 29 in Cantonment, while Pensacola prices were as low as $3.22 on Nine Mile Road. Officials at the USS Alabama Memorial Park say two aircraft currently on display were donations made by the late legendary singer Jimmy Buffett. The Grumman Goose and the Boeing Stearman both arrived last year, and at the time Buffett wanted to remain an anonymous donor. Both planes are in the Medal of Honor Aircraft Pavilion, and now there's a wreath and a Hawaiian-style shirt in front of the goose in Buffett's honor. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. Temperatures in the 90s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 70s. As you go into Wednesday, we will have a chance at a few stray showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 90s. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping into the 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, let's check in with Candy Culleton for traffic. traffic on the fives.
All right. There's an accident on Michigan near Robaloma. Fire EMS on scene. Fire is blocking both eastbound lanes, and traffic is routed into the center lane right now. It's a two-car accident, so caution there. We've been watching that for the last maybe 20 minutes or so. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. And thank you so much for sending that in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Right now, sunny and 77 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton at 735. Next news is at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. After nearly 2 years of concerns about a recession, growing optimism about the economy is starting to filter down into Wall Street's expectations for individual companies' quarterly results, with analysts growing more upbeat about corporate profit in the months ahead. Analysts over the past 2 months have nudged their profit forecasts higher for the first time in 2 years. During July and August, Wall Street analysts increased their third-quarter earnings per share estimates for the 500 companies in the S&P 500. Artificial intelligence is starting to help buildings go greener. Keeping buildings running contributed about 26% of global energy-related greenhouse gas emissions in 2022. For the world to reach net zero emissions by 2050, the energy these buildings consume per square meter needs to decline by about 35% by 2030. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a modestly lower open after stocks close mixed on Friday. The market was closed yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:37, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, always joins us at this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had gotten so accustomed to you being in studio. It's so different having you on the phone again. So it's a little bit weird. I'm adjusting. I'm adapting. When you and I were talking last week, you guys had reporting that there had been a shooting at the Essex Point apartment building, and this is off of Johnson near Olive, and we have since learned quite a bit about this story, right?
When we talked, I had just gotten some preliminary information, but what our investigators have determined through talking to the suspects and witnesses and the victims, that a 15-year-old female was having a relatively normal morning until she decided to pull a gun and shoot at her mother and her mother's fiancé while they were still in the bed. So apparently she went to the car and everything was good. They talked about homework, and then all of a sudden she walks in to the bedroom. Again, her mother and her mother's fiancé were still in bed, and then she just started firing. She fired a couple times at her mother, narrowly missing her. In fact, her mother had a a head wrap on, and the bullet struck that head wrap, but luckily did not strike her.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, her fiance did not fare well, and he was struck in the head, and he was end up being killed. So the 15-year-old has been charged with murder. We're working with the state attorney's office to determine whether we can charge her as an adult.
And do you have a motive or any kind of, like, what happened?
No, that's the peculiar part about this. We always look for, the why. And in this case, we didn't get anything. And that's why kind of my comment about a relatively normal morning, there wasn't even, based on what we have gathered, there wasn't even an argument. It was a normal morning. She pleasantries with her mother, and then she came in with a gunshot, and then she took the keys and left. Our detectives were able to locate her at her boyfriend's house, so we picked her up there.
And it was over off of Harris, I think, on the west side, off of Massachusetts. So, and by the way, I was wrong. It was not Tuesday. You and I didn't talk about this. It was Wednesday, and I had been communicating with your PIO about the facts of the case. And so, wow, what a strange, strange circumstance. We also had, I think, Wednesday night, the Oakstead Mobile Home Park. I believe there were three people shot, but I don't think anybody died in this particular case, which is good news. Do we know anything more about this one?
Yeah, there were injuries to legs and arms, as I understand it. This is a large group of young people that were engaged in a disturbance, and then, as unfortunately as too often happens, there were shots rung out, and we get there, and no one's telling us anything about anything. There are conflicting statements, and we're asking if anyone was there or if anyone has any videos. We would certainly like to see it, but not being overly cooperative. And fortunately, no one's going to die from this, but it started from a group of people that knew each other and then became angered, and that anger turned into gunfire.
All right. And you guys have had a couple of others, just sort of odd ones, but at least one of them led to an arrest. You had a guy who was stealing copper, and I think, is this the same one where he was actually tried stealing it from the same place more than once?
Yeah, we got a call that he was caught on security camera earlier, and then so we started heading that way. And then he was kind enough, I guess, to do it again while we were close by. We surrounded the building. He tried to get away. He jumped the fence, climbed another fence. We had our canine speeder was on his trail. Finally, we pinned him in another fenced-in area where he surrendered. Before he surrendered, he had... there's some pictures on our Facebook page, but where he had discarded a number of items, tools, basically all stolen property that he had. Much of it was copper. So we ended up arresting him for burglary, obviously for construction site, grand theft, and that sort of thing.
Is that still... See, I had thought that the copper theft wave had kind of died off. I knew it was a real problem back in, like, the, teens, the 2010s, and I didn't think that was still really happening that much anymore, but is that back to being a problem?
Well, I think that if you talk to contractors, it's always a problem, people stealing from construction sites.
Okay.
Whether it's copper, whether it's equipment, whether it's wood. A couple of years ago, wood was a pretty high commodity.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that people will steal anything. I've come to learn that you can't count on just, someone stealing one thing or the other. They're criminals, and they look for opportunity, unfortunately. And if it's copper, they take the copper. If it's tools, they take the tools. I just think that they should concern themselves with taking other people's property.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And, I don't know if this is really a silver lining in it, but, taking something from a construction site is terrible. And I think going on a construction site when you're not allowed is a felony. It's not just ordinary trespass, in part because of that problem. But I remember when people would be ripping copper tubing out of vacant homes and things like that. And, you make $1,000 and cost $15,000 worth of damage. It was such a disproportionate impact to the person who owned the property that I was like, it's just, it's an infuriating kind of crime.
I think that tells you the mental makeup of a thief. They don't care about anyone but themselves. They sure don't care that the damage that they do is going to cause hardship. Sometimes they steal from air conditioning units rendering them useless in a hot summer day. But they don't care. That's why they're criminals, and that's why we try so hard to put them in jail.
You made another arrest that involved some drugs and guns. What was this one all about?
Yeah, we arrested a Christian Melendez on August the 8th. A male described as wearing distinctive clothing was caught again on video, prying open the front door of the store. This one was on Kim Strand Road. He made entry and he stole about $400 worth of tobacco products. Later on that same day, he returned to the store where what it bought was closed. Forced through the front doors, he stole $600 in tobacco products. I guess he couldn't get enough tobacco products. But it also cost $2,000 worth of damage. To your point earlier, they're doing a lot of damage. We were able to identify him as Christian Menendez. Was arrested at his home. The search revealed that clothes that he was wearing, this distinctive clothes. It also revealed an amount of marijuana. It looks like a pretty good amount of marijuana. Some cash. He had bullets. He had two handguns. An AR, and he is being charged with that burglary and also with those gun crimes.
He was a former felon. Is why he's not allowed to have the guns? I didn't quite catch that. Sorry.
Well, we charge him with weapons offenses. When you have a weapon or you arm yourself during the commission of a felony,
I got you.
That is a weapons offense in itself.
Very good. Hey, last thing I just wanted to ask you, it's kind of a follow-up on you and I talked previously quite some time ago about you wanting to open two substations that I can't remember if they were reopens or if they were new opens, but I wanted to ask you how that's been turning out, if that's been producing results for you.
Yeah, we opened, when I first got elected, we opened the substation in Perdido, uh-huh. And that's going very well. We also reopened the one in Molino. Again, that was going pretty well. What my future goal is, I think I should look after, you know, the agency and the community years in advance and take a look at where we might need a substation. I've identified areas of in Myrtle Grove and also the area in Beulah because of its tremendous growth.
Yeah.
So I've had conversations with Commissioner Burgosh about potential locations, whether it is on the side of the equestrian center up there or maybe even in OLF-8. This is kind of what I'm thinking, and we can have much more serious conversations moving forward. I just think that as we continue to grow, we have to, you know, stay ahead of this growth with regards to law enforcement, because you can grow and grow, but if your community is not safe, if your resources are not in place, then eventually that growth will stagnate. It won't be worth living in those homes.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, hey, if you want to be the first building on OLF-8, you know, you can be right out front. You can have your pick of the real estate.
So, put me in the middle.
Put you somewhere in the middle. You can respond to the homes that will eventually be there and everybody else off of 9 Mile in that vicinity. Sheriff Chip Simmons, he is a sheriff in Escambia County. As always, Sheriff, thanks so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
747 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for us.
All right. We're watching an accident, and thank you so much for texting this in. Now, this is on Michigan Avenue, it looks like, near Beverly, I'm sorry, rather. It's a
same road.
It's a same road, man. I know. Something happened. It's Michigan near Robo Loma and Timberlake, actually. Fire and EMS on scene. Fires blocking both eastbound lanes, so the traffic is routed into the center lane. It's a two-car accident this morning, so try to avoid that area if you can. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, when I say BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, Lexus, these are great cars. They cost a little bit more to get. They do not have to cost more to maintain. You might think because they're specialty cars, you've got to go to the dealership to keep all that stuff intact. No, you can take them to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those vehicles all the time. They work on American cars too. You know, they're not uniquely for imports. They work on American cars, no problem. They work on diesel engines, right? You got that diesel truck and it's not doing great, because when they're great, they're great. When they're not, they're really not. You don't have to go to the dealership for that. They can work on those as well. So whatever the vehicle need is, they can take care of it. And their philosophy is they want to prevent the problems, like preventative maintenance is really their goal. That's why the name of the website is carclinicservice.com, because it's like a healthcare clinic for your car, so that you can, you know, see them more often, so you don't see them for the catastrophic, unexpected stuff. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Go Argos!
I am Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida Historic Trust. Our annual open house event will be held in downtown Pensacola on September 9th. Learn more about the programming, tours, and experiences available that day, offered for free to all attendees. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we discuss Historic Trust Open House 2023. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. At Anderson, we know Subarus are built better, and we're not the only ones who think so. Subarus earn more IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus awards than Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai brands since 2013 as of July 2023. When it comes to safety, Subarus are better. And when it comes to longevity, well, Subaru wins there too. According to a study by Experian Automotive, Subaru leads the industry in longevity with 96% of vehicles sold in the last 10 years still on the road today. More than Honda or Toyota brands. Hands down, Subaru has the longest lasting vehicles in the automotive industry, all of which makes it easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Visit us on Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola, or shop us online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Based on Experian Automotive non-luxury vehicles and operation excluding trucks and vans versus total new registrations for model years 2013 through 2022 as of December 2022.
Oh, you hear that music. It is, of course, football season, and we have tickets to give away. FSU's home game on the 9th against Southern Miss. You can go to that game if you win. Caller number 4 wins right now, 437-1620. I got a pair of tickets to go see FSU take on Southern Mississippi. That is this Saturday, September 9th. Call now, 437-1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
He's got the eye, he's got the stroke. He's got the flake, he's got that down cold. But can he flake on and flake off? I don't know. See, I don't know whether that can be taught. That's not clear. He's got to learn how to be himself, but on purpose.
Because I'm not, this is not a political statement, this is an economic statement. When the middle class does well, everyone does well. I'm a capitalist. The poor do well, and guess what? You can still be a millionaire or a billionaire, except one thing. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes. The whisper campaign begins. President Biden's Labor Day speech yesterday, and I'm a capitalist. Okay, well, maybe we'll see. But you know, he said something, and I get on him for the things I disagree about. This is something he said that I agree with him, and I think he's exactly right about this.
Last week, we announced a new proposal, a new rule that would extend overtime pay to as many as 3,600,000 workers. Now it's about 35 grand or 36 grand before you can. After that, you don't get overtime. Well, now it's 53 grand, man. And guess what? He's got a whole lot of people working as executive assistants, working a hell of a lot more than 40 hours and not getting paid overtime. Now you're going to get paid overtime.
More with the whisper mode. Anyway, I agree with him about this. The abuse of people who you don't pay them hourly wages, you call them management, and then you work them to death overtime without having to pay them for it, that's kind of sick. Yeah, no, I agree with him about that. At a certain pay level, Okay, at a certain pay level, that's understandable. That's fine. You know, people who are paid a salary might work more than just 40 hours a week. You know, some of us work a lot more than 40 hours a week, but that's okay. That's part of the, I knew that going into the job. But there are a lot of jobs, okay? There are a lot of jobs where,
people
you know,
just take advantage of other people. Like, here's $14 an hour, now work 80.
No, not at hourly, but on salary.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They pay you the $14 an hour, 40-hour salary,
but you
work 80.
And they, you know, had made that in the, 36 or something like that. I don't know that this should be a national standard.
I think
it seems to me like this ought to be relativized to the local, you know, average wage. I'm not sure that it makes sense to set the same threshold for this in New York and L.A. as in Pensacola and, you know, St. Louis. But still, the principle is right that abusing employees by promoting them to a management salary and yet paying them, you know, the bare minimum you in order to take advantage. Yeah, no, that's horribly wrong. I totally agree with him in principle. I thought that was one of the good things that was done was, you know, basically catching companies for doing that and making sure that they do right by their employees. Yeah. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Hey, congratulations to Sylvia Hammonds from Pensacola. She picked up tickets to watch FSU beat Southern Miss. I hope.
Nice.
Anyway, or whatever. But anyway, congratulations, Sylvie. Another chance for you to win coming up on News Radio 92.3. Now, we are still watching that accident on Beverly/Michigan/ same road, y'all. Fire and EMS on scene. It's near Roba Loma and Timberlake, to give you the idea. Try to
say
that
name
if you
again.
Can. Robel Loma.
I like it. All right, go on.
Robel Loma. Anyway, fire is blocking the eastbound lane, so traffic's rerouted into that center lane. It's a two-car accident. You may want to avoid that area, certainly, if you can. It still looks tied up. 437-1620. If you got those traffic tips, and again, keep that number handy. More tickets to win coming up. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hint, hint. There might be another pair of tickets to
I'm
this
just
game
saying.
Coming up this, this show. Hey, Bands on the Beach. Bands on the Beach is tonight, and for... let's see, September 5th, we've got John Hart and the Prince Brothers are going to be performing tonight at the Pavilion out on Santa Rosa Island. Santa Rosa Island Authority, of course, big purveyors of this, and our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, always a good time. And we've got the Stepping Out in Style Fashion Show, Philanthropy and Fashion Fun, 47th Annual Stepping Out in Style Fashion Show, presented by the Women's Board of Baptist Healthcare Foundation, October 26th at the Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Resource Center, the building that has as many names as Brent Boulevard, Michigan.
Yeah,
Beverly.
It's got as many names as they can fit inside. It's like, hey.
Softly Field. That's right, Softly Field.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
All right.
And Perry. Everybody forgets about little Perry.
7:56 on News Radio 92. Anyway, sponsorships are available for that. You can find out more at newsradio923.com. Steve Taylor is in today and all week for the vacationing David Wayne. Steve?
Well, First Lady Jill Biden had tested positive for COVID-19. The office confirmed the news yesterday, saying the 72-year-old, she wishes she was 17, is experiencing mild symptoms. She's expected to remain at her home in Delaware. And, you know, most couples dream of a memorable wedding. This New York wedding was definitely memorable. Why, you ask? Well, police were invited to the wedding party last night after a fight broke out. As the police put it, multiple skirmishes had broken out among the more than 100 guests at the wedding. It took officers from seven different units to get everything under control, but after that, the cops say a man bit one of the officers and shoved another. He was arrested and charged with assault. Another man was charged with obstruction for trying to stop the cops from breaking up the fight. That should make for a very interesting wedding album.
It's not a wedding until. All right.
Until the fight breaks out.
Thanks so much, Steve. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, did you see the white supremacists marching at Altamont Springs?
Oh, everywhere!
Creative. We are everywhere. I wouldn't say everywhere, but there are some. Now, this was a group of maybe 25. Okay, they were at one point doing like the Nazi salute, and they were marching through town. And I know Anna Escamani, the state legislator, had put it up on her Twitter feed. And yeah, and you know, and her argument is this is the cover that's created by these you know, these folks like Trump and DeSantis, and giving the white supremacists. I remember Skokie. You know, I remember that there have been idiots as long as, you know, we've had these conversations. I would say this. 25 is not all that many. Also, their chants are really weak. They need better chants. I don't want them to have better chants, but they need better ones. We've been watching Welcome to Wrexham, the show about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney taking over Wrexham Football Club. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the soccer fans have the best chants, and they come up with them like weekly. Like, they have team meetings and stuff to come up with them. But no, this is, well, it's evidence of freedom in America. You don't like it. You hate to see it. But it is proof that people are free to say the ridiculous, idiotic, evil things that they believe in. Even in public, you protect them so that you can protect good things, and you put up with them, especially when there's small numbers like this.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.